Welcome back. Hour two of the Donna and Steve Experience. So glad you guys are here. Thank you for listening. Mike, you missed it, but right before you came in, we were talking about divorce registries, gift registries.
Sure.
It's a new thing. Wow. So we got a couple of emails that came in, one that Steve would like to read aloud.
Oh, thank you, Donna. What
thank
a formal
you.
Setup.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Patterson.
This comes from Katie. Can we have showers for people who haven't been married?
Preach.
No kids, but need new stuff.
Yes.
Because my housewarming was 30 years ago. You know, it's an interesting question. Why do single people who don't have a spouse and don't have any children, why do they have to buy their own blenders? They're on the hook for cups and plates. Because other people bought ours.
Here's what I think.
Okay.
You could always create a birthday gift registry.
No, but then everybody would be like, wow, Katie's really a little extra this year. She's turning 51 and she's sent us a registry for Bed Bath & Beyond. This is nuts.
I always go to friends' gift registries.
What friends do you...
Don't worry about it. I have a friend who keeps a constant like Amazon list. So I started doing that too. Just things that I'm like, oh... I'll get to that when I get to it. But if you create it as a gift registry, then you could just tell people who are like, I don't know what to get you for Christmas. I'll be like, I have a registry if you want to look at it. I'll send you the link.
That sounds
I'd rather get something
very
I want
tacky. I don't know why.
It's not. These days, listen, people talk about poop and pee out loud these days. I think it's okay to say, I have a gift registry.
I think that's a strange correlation you tried to make.
But people are just like so much more open about things.
I know. Just I understand that.
About, you know.
I think like, the poop and pee thing was weird.
If I have to listen to like, I don't know, Bruce's story about his constipation, I think it's okay to say, hey guys, I have a gift registry without feeling embarrassed.
I don't know why. But I feel more embarrassed for you in this scenario. Bruce is going through it. He didn't ask for this. This is a struggle. But it just feels a little... If you have a gift registry, and I know you're not, but that sounds like the person who's like, hey guys, it's my birthday month. Where
oh,
you're like,
yeah, that's definitely
honey,
not
get
me.
A hobby. Like, let's do something different here.
Let me ask you this. If you're doing a secret Santa...
That was not meant in a sexist way. I'm going to get an email. Steve, don't call anybody, honey.
It's fine. If you are doing a secret Santa for Christmas, don't you think it would be helpful to the buyer to have a list? A wish list? Just go, oh, here's... I threw some stuff on a wish list if you want to check it out. You don't have to.
You know, you're asking the wrong guy in this... If you have any opinions on this, you can give us a call, 651-641-1071. I am the guy who has long said, I will not tell anyone anything that I want.
That's not fair.
But I think
it's spiteful almost.
No.
It's a little spiteful.
No, it's,
if you don't
Donna,
know me,
no,
if you don't know what I like by now, then I don't even know why we're friends.
So that's, you're projecting there. Here is my position in that. I just want to be surprised because I can buy stuff. I can just, if I like need a vacuum, I'll just buy the damn vacuum. Or if I want that sweater, I'm not going to put it in my cart and be like, well, I hope she gets the hint. Just buy the sweater eventually. I want them to be led by their heart. This has nothing to do with like, if you know me, I just don't, I want there to be surprise. And when I, by the way, when I buy for someone on Christmas, I don't ask them, the adults, like, oh, what do you want? I just try to, like, think of them.
Okay,
all right,
so
maybe this would be nice.
How many gifts that you've given do you think ended up in the garbage?
I know of at least two that I gave my brother Scott, and I found out in some pretty hurtful ways, including a claw machine. He liked candy, and I was like, look, it's like a little $50 claw machine. He got rid of it.
I think I got rid of my T-shirt, too.
The one that, the sweatshirt that I got you that said... I'm just Donna, or I'm...
I'm Donna doing Donna things.
What the heck, Donna? I got rid of your shirt, too, the Will Ferrell one.
Oh, you did?
It doesn't fit anymore.
It's fine. Oh, because you're busting at the muscle base.
also this? Your words today are...
I didn't have any coffee. Okay, let's... Mike, who should we go to?
Let's go to Carrie.
Hey, Carrie. Welcome to the Dawn and Steve Experience. What's on your mind in this topic?
I think you are so wrong.
Okay, tell me why.
All the way with the Amazon gift registries. I actually heard about it about 4 or 5 years ago because I called my brother and said, what can I get your wife for Christmas? I had her name. And he said, oh, let me just send you a link to her Amazon gift registry. And I said, you don't by chance have one for the kids too, do you? And he's like, we absolutely do. Sent links there. So we were able to get, I mean, of course, they didn't know what we got them.
Right.
But it was something from their list. So we know that it's going to be used and appreciated and they're going to love it. So
right. You're totally guaranteed they're going to like it. And it takes the burden off of you. It's a really busy time for people around Christmas. You're buying gifts left and right. If you could just take a little bit of that burden away, I think that is the selfless thing to do, Steve.
I enjoy the joy of thinking of someone and saying, oh, I saw this and thought of you. But I think I'll be in the minority here. Thank you so
much. Thank you, Carrie.
For the call. Who's next?
We got Mary.
From Carrie to Mary.
Mary? What do you want, Mary? You want the moon? Hey, Put it on your registry, Mary. Hi, Mary.
I've been using the wish list from Amazon for years and years because I put it out there and going, I wish for this. And then sometimes people buy it, sometimes they don't. But I most definitely, I have a 16-year-old granddaughter. I never know what to get her. And so I always ask her for her wish list.
Okay. All right, we got another one there. Mary, Team D-Val. Let's see. I feel like it's going to be a clean sweep for you.
Maybe not.
Who do we have next?
Alyssa.
Alyssa, hi. Welcome to the Donna and Steve Experience. What do you think in the world of like registries and telling people, hey, get me this? Is it thirsty and weird or is it practical?
My situation was a little bit different, but I left an abusive spouse. And when I left, I had all sorts of friends and coworkers and people saying, what can we do for you? What can we do for you? And so I put together an Amazon wish list, and people bought all sorts of things for me and my kids for when I was going through my divorce and going through that situation.
So I thought
it was a great idea.
See, now I think that is a great idea, and I'm so sorry that you went through the experience that you did and happy that you're on the other side of that now. But thanks so much for the call. I think that's a great way to use it. I think the weird way to use it is just to have a running thing in case anyone decides that you want to get me a gift. I've already got the things that I deem as acceptable gifts all year round. It just seems a little cringy to me. Just led by like, hey, I saw this. I thought of you. Because otherwise, isn't there? It's like, oh, yeah, that was on my list. It's almost like thanks for you. You like took the errand away. Now I don't have to buy the dustbuster. It feels a little weird to me, but clearly I'm in the minority.
Were you looking at my list?
Well, if you don't have a little handheld vacuum cleaner,
get one.
Everybody
for pets.
Needs one.
So good, it picks up so much more.
It's good for crumbs too.
Yes,
little crumbs here, crumbs there.
Crumbs. Just get the little dustbuster and you're done. We gotta go. That was fun.
By the way, Gina emailed and said, "Let's not have any showers. They're the worst. No one gets a shower.
No one wants to go."
Somebody else says, stop the registry and GoFundMe madness. It's just gotten out of hand.
Maybe.
How about a buy your own bleep party? By the way, that was from a listener named Donna.
I love it.
God love you, Donna.
That's funny, though. It is getting out of control for sure. It is. The GoFundMe stuff.
Well, I think there are really good GoFundMes, but there are, sure, people using it for some weird reasons.
Yeah.
I think it's you creepy registry people who are like, in case anyone just wants to buy me a gift.
Fine.
Look at my list.
Compliment accepted.
Thank
break. You. All right.
What do we want to do?
Do you want to talk about food?
Let's do food. Yes.
Okay. Because do you ever eat imitation crab?
Oh, I'll save it.
Do you know what you're eating?
Let's not get back to that.
I am going to tell you.
And I have great DQ news for you Dairy Queen fans.
Okay.
My wife was gobsmacked when I shouted this out this morning. We'll tell you when we come back. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello. We're back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Where talk is fun and we like food.
Welcome to Donna and Steve's. Can I interest you in some food news today?
Yummy. Hey, man.
Lay it on me. I just crushed this Celsius.
Wow, I can't believe how fast you drink that.
That one I went through pretty slow. I kind of prefer to do it like in a commercial break.
Oh, wow. That's unfortunate.
What?
I don't know. I feel like you're going to start like dancing around and...
I'll probably yell a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, like you're... that thing?
Yeah.
That you do? Okay, thank you for doing it off mic.
You're welcome.
So, you've probably eaten your fair share of imitation crab meat.
How dare you? I don't think I've ever had imitation crab.
I mean...
I don't think so.
I think you have.
Don't tell me what I've eaten. You don't know that.
I'm going to guess that you have.
What does it say on the menu? Imitation crab?
Well, you buy it in the grocery store.
I've never bought crab.
No way.
I've never even bought real crab.
It's actually really good. It's like got like a sweetness to it. I shan't be eating it again.
What'd you learn?
Well, this is a fishy imposter. It has, let's see. Let me just get to the good part. What we're looking at here is not crab.
I think we established that.
Not even a little. So what is it? Thank you for asking. It's surimi. Surimi. Yes, I'm stalling.
I want to play the last 30 seconds back because it is just so great. Listener, we know that you're smart. We assume that you can catch on when we've gotten lost in an article. A thing that was like, I had it. Where is it? This is great. I'm along for the ride. Sashimi, you say? Sashimi? What is it called?
Surimi.
Anything else?
Yes. S-U-R-I-M-I. Okay. I don't like knowing this. So it's got some fillers. It's got some soy. It's a paste made from a mixture of pulverized fish.
Pulverized?
How do you say it? Pollock?
Pollock, yeah.
And cod and haddock.
Okay, that's...
Hacky sack. And it comprises 35 to 50% of imitation crab. And then they add water, starch, sugars, oils, salt, proteins like soy to make up the remainder of the product. So there's no real crab aside from a small amount of crab extract, which is made from boiling, baking, and pulverizing actual crab.
The use of the word pulverizing here feels like we didn't need all that. It feels a little heavy handed. Like we beat the crap out of these fish.
Like don't you use a pulverizer to like, you know, you put the thing in the bowl. It's like on a stick.
I don't know. Maybe I don't.
I think
of pulverizing like, oh, they pulverized that team.
Okay, so I think of pulverizing as liquefying, kind of.
Yeah, because you are breaking it down into, from what it was, into little tiny pieces. Mike, is a pulverizer a kitchen utensil?
Well, it's reducing to fine particles is just pulverized. That is what it's mean. What it means, but I don't know if a pulverizer is a...
Yeah, I don't think you can ask your neighbor, like, can I borrow your pulverizer?
Emulsifier?
There it is. I feel like that is
really?
A thing.
So it's a thing that has a little blendery kind of thing at the bottom,
yeah,
and you put
yeah.
it into, like, I don't know, cream cheese.
I am seeing some of them call them pulverizing machines or pulverizer machines.
I know,
so there
thanks.
Are some out there. Grain mills pulverizer grinding machine.
Okay, but that grain mill, that sounds like something that's not in our kitchen. If you had like a commercial farm, I don't know.
I don't care.
That was evident from the time you started reading the story.
I'm sorry. I wanted to get to the actual ingredients and they kind of got lost.
They're the hot dogs of the seafood world.
That's right.
That's all it is. And hot dogs have very little actual beef in them most of the time.
I want to be turned off by what you've told us. And I wanted to be turned off by hot dogs. It ain't working. If I had a hot dog right now and you were like, even some of like the old wives' tales of there's chicken beak in there mm-hmm. and there's some claws and all that. I'm like, listen, as long as it's in a tube and...
That's not an old wives' tale, which, by the way, is offensive. let me see.
You're
here.
Not even married.
oh, my God. You're so... Annoying today.
I have a dairy. You.
You are annoying.
Donna.
You started all of it. Hot dog ingredients. Okay, let's right. go not 100% beef hot dogs, because mm-hmm. that's the garbage you're probably eating. Okay. Beef trimmings, salt.
See, I don't mind that. Boom.
Seasonings.
Love all this.
They can contain fillers, preservatives, artificial additives.
But no beak?
I think there's like... Toenail clippings.
No, don't be gross, Donna.
I'm not.
The meat trimmings include just basically what's left over from the head, feet, liver, fatty tissue, and lower grade muscle particles.
Mmm.
That sounds delicious.
Yummy.
You know, and again, you guys, they could actually have all of the, they could even show me the ingredients. Like, here's our, we get this from our bucket of beaks. And I would be like, okay, so if you could just grill it until it gets like a little bit black, I do want it to split open and then put it on this bun. I don't care.
Oh my God. Here's
what
a question.
Are you reading?
Is human DNA in hot dogs? The answer, there is not 2% human DNA in hot dogs. Rather, out of 345 different brands, 2% of these contain human DNA, about 7 brands. This was not because of human meat being used, but due to lack of hygiene, finding hair and skin dander falling into the actual meat. I am never eating again.
Here's what the internet says. Somebody went and posted and they said, you know how they say if you knew what went into hot dogs, you wouldn't eat one? I'm trying to find out on Google what they're made of, but I can't really find any like disturbing info. And then it's just a forum of people saying all sorts of things that they are made of, with somebody saying it involves like a lot of cow, pig, like leftover. Somebody said even elbows.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
And so
as
for the imitation
good,
crab, if it tastes like crab, I assume there's filler and stuff that's killing us in almost everything.
Okay.
Isn't it funny that preservatives aren't actually helping to preserve us?
I love it. Print that.
Look at you, Murphy
on
Brown.
On a t-shirt.
Let's do this.
Sell
let's
it at the fair.
Game.
All right, let's play.
651-641-1071. We're going to play the College of Pop Culture Knowledge. We need one of you to play along with us. Call. Just call us from a payphone. Bye.
All right, let's see if I talk gooder now.
Hey, you know, I passed a Blaze Credit Union bus on the way into work today. I was like, look, it's a Blaze bus.
They're everywhere.
They're all over the place.
There's 26 branches right now. There's 2 more coming. I think one in Plymouth, one's coming to Stillwater. You're bound to find one in your own neighborhood. Blaze is a full-service financial institution, by the way. They can help you with any type of financial product, any service at any stage of your life. They are so great. with at customer service. They really do care about their members and their community because they're driven by Midwestern values, community integrity, hard work. And you're going to find that as soon as you walk into a branch. By the way, totally free checking. You go in, you put a $100 minimum deposit into your new checking account. They're going to give you $150. You could find more at blazecu.com. Blaze is insured by NCUA, and they're an equal housing opportunity lender.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know her, you love her. More than 25 years on the air here in the Twin Cities, Donna Valentine.
Thank you, everybody. You know, it is 10:30. We do this every day at this time. We play a little game where I beat the living bleep out of Steve.
Whoa. Time to go to college.
It's time to attend the College of Pop Culture Knowledge.
It's like quiz ball.
Three trivia questions to find out who's smarter. Donna.
Donna's a smart one.
Or Steve.
His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
And here's your host, the Big Zamboni.
I
want to
see how smart you are.
We'll find out how smart the two of you are as we play the College of Pop Culture Knowledge. Donna is correct. She has beaten Steve 33 times this year. Steve, though, has won 31 times.
Oh, and by the way, I've been here in the Twin Cities for 31 years. Thank you.
Hey.
Hey, man.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, right? I digress.
How long were you on, we won't give them any credit, but J-102, let's call it.
20 and a half years.
And you've almost been here for half of what your country career was. Isn't that wild?
Yes.
Crazy, huh?
Crazy, Steve.
Nice.
Wow. Thanks for pointing that out.
Back to you, Mike.
Today, I think the two of you mentioned this, but Tropicana in Las Vegas is welcoming guests for the final time today.
Oh, all right.
Shutting doors to casino guests, shutting doors to the folks that are swinging on by or staying at the Tropicana, and they're giving way to what's going to be the future site of a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I'm looking right now because you guys were asking me. I do not believe they've made a decision yet on a possible implosion.
Oh, okay. We were sort of hoping that there would be an implosion, and we are sort of hoping, misunderstanding the story, that it would happen today, like just after the person pulled the final lever of a casino slot machine. That's not happening.
No, I think they have to be all cleared out of there and probably clear out a lot of those machines that'll go to other places. And then, you know,
there's a lot of work.
There's a lot of preparation before you implode a casino.
Boy, would I love to be inside of the Tropicana like a week from today.
Yeah.
Just to see the eeriness of there is no sound. Oh my God. No.
Right.
And just like empty casino, I bet it feels pretty sad.
I bet you're right.
So, today, for the College of Pop Culture Knowledge, to celebrate Tropicana's final day, we're going to be talking about the very fact the very thing we just talked about, old casinos in Vegas.
Oh, yay. No.
They were imploded. They gave room for other places. We'll be talking about that. So, old-timey Vegas, and again, I made it easy enough, I would think, that you are all going to have an opportunity. We'll find out. And who knows? Maybe our caller is fantastic on the subject. And our caller, I believe, is Emily.
Good morning, Emily. Yes, welcome to the Donna and Steve Experience. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
Oh, nice. Good.
What kind of knowledge do you have about old Vegas?
It could give or take. I've got an auntie who dabbles, so we'll see you.
Oh, a dabbler. Ooh,
okay, we got a dabbler. Great. A little dabble, right. Do ya? Emily, before
I don't dab, but auntie does. So
okay.
Let's hope she covers me through.
It's in the bloodline. Let us talk for a moment about you before we go. What's happening next in your day? After you play this game, what's next on your agenda?
I'm going to clean a litter box.
Oh, Lord in heaven. So you want this game to go as long as possible.
I'm poop smithing.
Wow. All right, do you use the clumping litter or just regular litter?
I'm a hybrid. I do crystallized litter, so I only have poop and no urine. So,
Love it.
It might be a little fancy.
Wow. I don't really understand litter boxes. Don't I just know that they stink.
It's they're not supposed to if you clean them every day.
I have an enclosure, though.
I did, too. Like a little house.
I have it's like a little, it looks like an ottoman. It looks like furniture. And there's two litter boxes inside. And then, the door's open to the front.
Wow.
And I poop smith, I don't know, maybe once a week even. And I have two cats, so.
What are you saying you're doing? You keep using the word poop. Did you say you poop sniff?
Yeah, because the urine crystallizes and it evaporates, and so I only scoop poop out like once a week, and it's like little logs of. This is really detailed.
Why are you saying sniff?
Poop sniff, because that's my job as a cat handler, is I'm a poop sniff. It's like being like a, you know, like an iron sniff or a.
Okay, wait a minute.
Smith.
Wait a minute.
You're saying smith, not sniff, like, what do I smell?
No, I'm not smelling it. No.
Okay, I'm hearing poop sniff this whole time.
Not to smell.
Emily.
No, poop sniff as in like it's my job.
Oh, right. I understand.
One
Donna's
question,
got a question
before you make your decision. Are you a.
Felon?
Is this your. Are these your cats?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you were going house to house and you were a cat smith.
Well, I also smith at my neighbor's house. I don't smell with an SM. I scoop my neighbor's litter as well because she's elderly, so I have two litter boxes to tend to today.
Okay. That's very
really
very
nice.
Sweet.
Okay.
With that,
this turned into a whole thing about
it. With sure that, is. We are out of time.
We're out of time.
Thank you for calling.
No, okay. Tell us.
Did I win?
Yeah, that's right. I feel like we all lose. Tell us who you would like to team up with, Donna or Steve. Again, the topic is kind of like old timey Vegas casinos.
Casinos that were imploded.
Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus. I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Steve because
the Rat Pack.
You're down, so I'm going to try and help.
All right. This
Thank
works
you.
Out for me.
All right.
I got to go right. use the litter box myself.
Donna. Donna. Take the scooper.
Emily.
All right.
Emily, you're going to go on hold. We're going to play.
Donna might urinate en route to the bathroom. Oh, boy. She did a weird leg cross as she left the
studio. Yeah, she's running. Correct. Wow. She's running and wait. Wow.
Look at her go.
She tripped. Okay. Let's play. It's the College of Pop Culture Knowledge. We're talking about old-timey Vegas hotels that were imploded. Hopefully it's fun. Let's find out. Let's start it off with this one on Tropicana's final day. In 1993, the Dunes Hotel and Casino was brought down. Exactly 5 years later, this current hotel and its fountain-filled lake were opened at the same site.
The Bellagio.
Hosting the king's wedding to Priscilla and sharing its name with a Disney hero, this casino was imploded in 1998 and now is where Planet Hollywood stands.
Say that again.
Hosting the king's wedding to Priscilla and sharing its name with a Disney hero, this casino was imploded in 1998 and now is where Planet Hollywood
All right,
stands.
Pass.
Sinatra performed, owned, and shot...
The Sands. I'm just going to go with the Sands.
Hosting the king's wedding to Priscilla and sharing its name with a Disney hero, this
Disney
casino
hero.
Was imploded in 98. Planet Hollywood's
Disney
there now.
Disney hero. Shnikes.
All right. Let's run through these. Emily, his first answer was Bellagio. He seemed pretty confident in that. How did you feel?
I like that one.
All right. The third one, I didn't even get more than five words in, and he said the Sands. You want me to repeat it, or
that's
are you going
right.
to just stick? Oh,
nope.
That's right. Okay. And then finally, hosting the king's wedding to Priscilla and sharing its name with a Disney hero, this casino was imploded in 1998, and now is where Planet Hollywood stands. She's going to go with Aladdin.
Love that answer. You know what? Now, I can't change anything, but I'm stalling because Donna's probably in the bathroom. I actually think that we probably are wrong on number three. I don't know why. It feels like there may have been something wrong.
Really?
But
I feel like it's
But that's okay. We're locked in. I feel that way too. I feel like if it's Sinatra, it's got to be the Sands. But I just wonder if there was something that we both had maybe a little rush to judge.
Did Sinatra go anywhere other than there? Though wasn't that his home?
Great question. Maybe we're right. Let's bring her back in. Here comes. You know her, you love her. Donna Valentine. She's got collagen in a cup. She's ready to rock. How are you, Donna?
Oh, you know, I just, I went into the bathroom and our boss was in there.
Oh, no.
And she was washing her hands and she didn't see me. So I snuck behind her and I ran right into the door and she never knew I was in there.
Wow.
That was great.
But you hit the door?
What?
Did you say you ran right into the door?
Oh, no. I went behind her. Into the door that she was kind of blocking. She didn't even know I was in there. It's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyway, that's not why you called.
Let's play.
All right.
Let's play. It's College of Pop Culture Knowledge. We're talking about old-timey casinos that were imploded. Are you ready to give this a whirl, Donna?
Yes.
All right. Let's start it off with this first one here. In 1993, the Dunes Hotel and Casino was brought down. Exactly 5 years later, this current hotel and its fountain-filled lake were opened at the same site.
The Bellagio?
Hosting the king's wedding to Priscilla and sharing its name with a Disney hero, this casino was imploded in 98 and now is where Planet Hollywood stands.
The Sands?
Sinatra performed, owned, and shot Ocean's 11 at this dry, iconic hotel that gave way to the Venetian.
The Sands.
Second one. Hosting the king's wedding to Priscilla and sharing its name with a Disney hero, this casino was imploded in 98, and now is where Planet Hollywood stands. You've got seven seconds.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What is it called? The Excelsior. The Excelsior? The Excelsior.
All right. Let's run through these answers.
Shoot.
We'll start with the first one. In 1993, the Dunes Hotel and Casino was brought down. Exactly 5 years later, this current hotel and its fountain-filled lake were opened at the same site. Some call it Lake Bellagio. Some call it Lake Como. It is the Bellagio.
Woo!
Big money!
Boy, that means that just 3 years after it opened, or maybe 2 years, they shot Ocean's 11 with the Bellagio. But the huge product placement there, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder what kind of deal they had behind the scenes for that, because what... That's the best marketing the Bellagio has ever had.
For sure.
Was Ocean's 11.
Speaking of Ocean's 11, Sinatra performed, we'll go to question three. Sinatra performed, owned, and shot Ocean's 11 at this dry, iconic hotel that gave way to the Venetian. That indeed was the Sands.
Yeah!
Nicely done.
We were right. Good, good.
Oh my God. Wow.
Rumors had it he owned 9%. That just, of course, implies or has you, that's what was on paper.
Oh, yeah.
There may have been some dealings with the mafia that maybe allowed him to own more of that. I'll let you go
digging your own path
to find out if you think he owned more than that. We'll move on to the second one, though. Hosting the king's wedding to Priscilla and sharing its name with a Disney hero, this casino was imploded in 1998 and now is where Planet Hollywood stands. Donna, were you trying to say the Excalibur?
Yes, I was.
Okay, that's
Excelsior.
That still stands.
Okay. Darn it.
The Excalibur.
All right.
Any other guess now that you know that?
Yeah, I see you trying to like mouth it over
there. It seemed like you're really disappointed, like you thought of it.
So, okay.
I didn't get it. Carrie did.
The Aladdin.
The correct answer was the Aladdin.
I stayed there, too.
The Aladdin is the correct answer. Donna did not get that one, but Emily did. You're the winner today, Emily.
Yay, Emily.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah, girl.
All right. What does she win? A t-shirt?
If she wants a t-shirt, she's got a t-shirt. Otherwise, I'll send her some other My Talk swag.
Cool. Thank you.
Let's talk about it. We've got a lot of My Talk shirts around here, but we'll take it all because my kids are fans.
Oh, that's awesome. What are your kids' names?
So Jericho is my son and Evangeline is my daughter, and she is the biggest Julia fan on the planet.
How is she dealing with the news of their upcoming departure?
Ugly cried. She was so broke. She's 9 years old and she's met Julia twice, and she cried and cried and cried.
Evangeline. Oh, goodness.
And I have Julia's phone number, so I texted her and we've talked about it, and it's, oh, so sweet, bittersweet.
Aww.
I mean, so Julia's the kindest person to engage in saying goodbye to my daughter.
Really sweet. Love Julia, too.
Oh, man. Well, she
has the biggest heart. But they also are big Donna and Steve fans.
Nice save, Em.
They love listening to this game. In fact, so they're at school today, but they listened yesterday and laughed. So,
hey, well, listen.
Thank you for telling us.
My kids are both big My Talkers. We love you guys.
You tell Evangeline and Jericho that we said hello, and
I'm going to have to replay this because that shout out is going to mean the world to them. We listen to the soup every day.
Well, that's great. And listen, Evangeline and Jericho, the number one thing that I was happy to find out about your mother this morning, and that she is not a poop sniffer, which really was the narrative for the first couple minutes of this phone call.
I'm going to have to play this entire segment so that we can get to that conclusion.
Yes. Yeah. They need resolution or else they're going to have questions. Mom, what do you do when we're gone from school? All right. Thank you so much, Emily. We appreciate the call. Bye now.
Bye. All right. We don't have time for the tiebreaker.
Oh, man. Wow. We're late. We got to go.
Let's do it on the flip side.
All right. We'll do that. And you got to hear what Whoopi Goldberg said about aliens yesterday. Very nonchalantly.
I can't hear it. Wait.
That when we come back, Donna, Steve, My Talk. Hey, guys, what's up? It's Steve from my buddies at the Canopy Group. All right, I've got five facts coming your way. See if you can keep up. Fact number one about the Canopy Group. Did you know that they write more new business in 1 month than a captive agent writes in 3 years. How's that possible? Let's go to fact number two. Well, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies. That's important. Not six-month policies that leave you at risk for two premium increases each year. You don't want that. Fact number four, the Canopy Group offers one deductible at claim time. Not two, not three, four, or even more. And finally, fact number five about the Canopy Group. They will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies each and every year. Captive insurance agencies, they can't shop for you guys because they only have one company that they represent. In order for you to know that you're getting the best coverage, you need options. You get options with the Canopy Group. Time to check them out today. TheCanopyGroup.com.
All right, we're back. We're back. We're back. Hi, I'm wearing my soft pants today and they're not working. What? That's what Holly calls them, soft pants.
Can I see them? I don't want to ask to see any.
Yeah.
So what are these, like yoga pants?
They're like joggers that are wide-legged.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes. Yeah, they're like a flare bottom, but they kind of feel like a yoga pant.
A little bit.
What are you gathering opinions on these, or do we just continue moving?
I hadn't planned on it.
Then I won't.
Are you offering opinions?
No, I have an opinion.
It wouldn't be my go-to pants to put on, but today was a soft pant kind of day.
May I say something now about, not yours, but soft pant flares in general. So soft
pants. They're back. They went away. Went straight, and now they're back.
I know that flares did. I know that we went skinny, and now we're doing the bell-bottom flare thing again, and it can look really great.
Here it comes.
I just think in the world of soft pants, for me, so like my truth, so respect it, okay? For me, a soft pant flare gives me a vibe. Is this a safe place or not? Gives me a vibe of I'm cleaning the house.
Oh, like, interesting. I would clean in straight leg.
And I would flip pants. That. It just feels, I don't think I'm totally on board yet, but I'm behind the times with fashion. I don't think I'm on board with soft pant flare, but I'm sure I'm in the minority on this.
I mean,
everybody loves it.
I don't care.
I know. None of us really care. I just walked into the prep room and said hello to our boss, Amy, and Brittany was in there. And I walk in just to start giving Brittany some crap. And then Amy says, look at this guy. Look at what he's wearing. And he was critiquing fashion this morning because I was making fun of Jared Leto's big suit mm-hmm. from Wheel of Fortune.
Right.
So there's shots being fired all around this place. You know what I mean? You can run, but you can't hide.
I hear you.
But yeah, and you have a nice corduroy top.
Thank you. It's called like a blazer. It's a little blazer.
And then a scarf.
The scarf was an add-on last minute because my shirt's too tight.
Oh, okay.
So then it draws attention away from the tight shirt. Thank you. Hope everybody's enjoying this radio program.
I was going to add in, I just got a couple of sweatshirts delivered from Target the other day that were no longer available in an XL. And some of my favorite sweatshirts are from Target because they have a nice tight crew neck.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, I love tight neck.
Oh, I hate, I need air in the chest area. I can't.
That
suffocates me.
I want that. I like just a soft
strangle. Why don't you rock the rug? What's going on?
I got a little rug. I tell you what.
You should be rocking that.
No.
Do a little V-neck.
I mean, and seriously, it's like one of the only stress relievers for Lou at the end of a long day. If she can just run her fingers through the tuft of hair on my chest. Oh. The stress dissipates, right? It dissipates.
Oh, my gosh.
That is not true. She will likely be disappointed in me again for saying that. I got these really nice sweatshirts. You know who else has that sweatshirt? Jason Matheson. I saw him in a sweatshirt, and I was like, that's got to be a Target sweatshirt. And he was like, it's a Target sweatshirt. And I was like, I think I have that same sweatshirt. And now I get it in multiple colors.
Cool.
But I sized up to an XL and it's nice and loose in my stomach is my point.
I love that for you.
We love loose in that sweatshirt, not in suit.
You need an empire waist.
Donna said years ago, she wants only to wear empire waist maternity clothes.
I accidentally bought a top that fit me like perfectly. I'm like, finally, something that complements my body. Right. And I bring it home and I'm like, I go to look at the brand so I could buy like three more because I'm like, this is so cute. I'm going to get three of them.
And comfortable.
And I looked at the back and it said the tag.
Yeah.
Great expectations. Maternity wear.
You know,
like as in 9 month maternity top. That's what I was wearing, thinking that I looked amazing.
Yeah, every time I'm in a hospital gown, I'm like, this really breathes. Like, this is not hugging me in any spots I don't want it to. I know someone, I believe Sarah Rogers, trend expert from Mall of America. If I'm not mistaken, she always has, like, maternity jeans. Not that's not what she only wears, but I feel like there's this story that she always has, like, one in rotation. Because they have, like, a really comfortable band that, you know, can come up over your stomach.
Yeah.
I think I'm telling the truth here. I feel like we've talked about that on Twin Cities Live. We got to move on to this.
All right. Whoopi.
Here's Whoopi Goldberg talking with Kumail Nanjiani yesterday. He was on The View and he was talking about like aliens. They were like, after you did Ghostbusters, are you feeling like there are aliens? So he's talking about them like, I think they might want to wait for us to get our act together before they come. And then Whoopi very nonchalantly says this.
Yes. I think they're waiting for us to like clean up a little bit so that they can come here and tell us we're really messing things up.
They're already here.
Oh, I should.
Or they're here already.
They're already. They've been here for quite some time.
You think they're here?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Ooh,
and what are they doing?
They're watching us.
They're talking to Whoopi.
they're watching
She's
us.
She's talked to ghosts, not aliens. Duh. The She's movie was ghosts, She's not aliens.
She's saying it.
I got you, girl.
Oh, I should mention I am selling Kumail Nanjiani branded Qurans.
Oh. he's referencing the Donald Trump Bibles that SNL was making fun of this weekend. But that was rather nonchalant. And then they kind of like move past it. But she's just like, she looked very matter of fact. She was not putting on this, did not seem like a bitch. Just like, yeah, I know stuff.
But was she talking about aliens or was she talking about ghosts?
Aliens.
Remember, her co-host just said, yeah, she's talking about ghosts.
No, she was doing a joke because she was in the movie Ghost.
Got it.
And you should have seen her face when that co-host said that. She was like, why are you touching me? No, no, no. This is real. They're here. Wow. They've been here. She is matter of fact.
Very matter of fact.
She absolutely believes this. Yes.
And actually, they cut her off, too, because there was a point where she was going to go say something. And then somebody said something else. And then she sort of stopped. I was like, we need like another 5 to 30 minutes of Whoopi Goldberg just describing what she believes to be true about aliens on Earth.
Yeah, I'm interested. Right now. I'm interested. Let's get to the bottom of that.
Okay.
All right, Mike's going to have a dirt alert coming up.
Sweet.
I got a fun fact about Zooey Deschanel's family.
Okay.
And what Shakira and her sons thought of the Barbie movie. You might be surprised by this. All coming right up.